It's Thursday and time for Across the Aisle, our foray into Maine politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney and former Democratic legislator, Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing, who served in Augusta as a Republican, and economist Dick Woodbury, who served in the legislature as an independent. They spoke with Keith Shordahl.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. It's been a while, and we had an election this past Tuesday in which a number of things were decided, including the continuation of ranked choice voting. Dick, for disclosure, you are, of course, a mover behind ranked choice voting, so now is the time on the show when you gloat.
Well, I'm pleased. Since we last met, a number of things have happened in that regard. First, of course, it passed for the second time. Second, it passed decisively. There have been a number of court cases already, and in each of them, the courts ruled that the Secretary of State was required to implement ranked choice voting. And then the fourth thing that's happened is we've gotten all kinds of national news around it that you know, looking at Maine, we've been in the New York Times a number of times, the Wall Street Journal, been on the PBS NewsHour, as Maine doing something that really could be an important model for the country. So all of those things, I think, have solidified this reform.
Now, we've discovered that a lot of independent voters turned out on this issue in what was otherwise just a party primary. Was that key to the victory here, and was that part of the strategy?
We certainly made an effort to get people that we knew were supportive to get to the polls. But I think that the margin of victory was so solid that this really was indicative, and that it's the second time, it really is indicative that public opinion is pretty strong on this.
To the GOP gubernatorial primary, Meredith, there will be no need for ranked choice voting in that four-way race, as Sean Moody garnered more than 50% of the vote. Was that a surprise to you?
I think that everybody was sort of pleasantly surprised how Sean came on so strong. So Sean getting the majority of the vote at 56-57% sort of puts him in a different position than the Democrat candidates at this point, who must sort of sit on their hands and wait for a week, and they cannot touch their campaign funds and touch anything really for that period of time.
And we'll get to the Democrats in a minute. But Cynthia, what do you think was behind the Sean Moody margin there?
Well, the takeaway for me was that Republicans like to nominate outsiders who are really well-connected, wealthy white men. And so Sean Moody, I think, presented himself as an outsider. And the Republicans were wise, I think, to run against ranked choice voting. The voter turnout, however, was relatively low for Republicans. They had 30,000 less voters in the primaries than the Democrats. So while Sean Moody is glowing in his victory, Democrats, I think, have something to feel good about, and that is that more Democrats were energized to come out to the primary. And the winner, although they do have to wait, it's been a long 8 years with Governor LePage, and so another week is probably worth it.
Dick, Cynthia pointed out, many Republicans oppose ranked choice voting, did so vocally during the campaign. But now, since it wasn't needed in that race, will that lessen the likelihood of GOP lawsuits, or does it take the wind out of the GOP arguments against this going forward?
Well, I mean, it might have prevented a lawsuit in the short term. but again, I think that the margin for the referendum question was so decisive that I think it's a tough road to back away from it at this point.
And then there's also the idea or the fact that we've never actually implemented ranked choice voting before. So while I share in the celebration of the 56% of people who came out and supported the concept of ranked choice voting, we still have to see it unfold in real time and work and be subject to the challenges that some candidates may have to the process. We still don't know whether or not all the voting information can successfully be transferred from every municipality and locality to Augusta. We don't know if there are going to be challenges along the way. So I think it's a little early for Democrats to know whether or not they have buyer's remorse for buying in so heavily to ranked choice voting. But I would say right now the front runners clearly are Janet Mills and Adam Cody. And now we get to really watch the process unfold. The Secretary of State's office has announced that it's going to be a public proceeding. The public is welcome to join in Augusta beginning on Monday to watch this happen. The campaigns will be there. So in a way, the waiting game for Democrats is going to draw more attention to them, more attention to the candidates, give them more opportunities to be in the media. So it could be a success, but it's still a little early to tell.
Same case in the 2nd Congressional District, which is also subject to ranked choice voting. Although here, Meredith, the apparent victor, Jared Golden, still not with the 50% threshold, but mathematically so close that the tension is sort of different here.
Also, though, the other piece that's somewhat in play, I believe, at least through the next 24 hours or so, is that not all the precincts are in from 2nd District, as I understand, and that there's some hope, certainly if you were Jared Golden, that, in fact, he might tick over the 50% in some fashion.
And that would end the drama.
And that would certainly end the drama. So I'm sure they're all holding their breath, hoping that perhaps that they could be lucky, or he could be lucky enough to find himself in the same situation as Sean Moody.
Another interesting wrinkle in the 2nd Congressional District is that there initially were 4 Democrats, but then Jonathan Fulford dropped out, but his name remained on the ballot. So the clerks at the various locations who were governing the election were told to treat any vote for Fulford as a blank. However, I have information from the Secretary of State's office that not all towns were able to do that. And now, because ranked choice voting will ultimately be used, people who voted for Fulford first, their votes will be blank. But whoever they voted for as number 2 will be thrown into the mix. So there's this slight goat's path for St. Clair campaign to, in a ranked choice voting, perhaps make up ground, because right now what separates the 2 frontrunners is about 4,000 votes, and about 3,500 voted for Olson, which will be redistributed. And then there's this question about the Fulford vote. So that's a really interesting race to watch.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of drama in the 2nd District race. I think it's the Democratic governor's race, where there are still 4 candidates who plausibly could through the tabulation process be selected.
So clearly,
and I even think when it gets down to 3, they're not going to be that far apart. So it'll be very interesting to just to watch the rounds.
All right. Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, see you next week.
And you can hear Across the Aisle most Thursdays at this time.